For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to the Falcoholic Lives live Falcons Mock Draft 2.0 featuring my co-host Adnan Ekic. I am, of course, Kevin Knight. We are here to bring you guys another live Falcon simulation. We will be going through all seven rounds. At this time, we will be considering trades probably at the top. Because if we stop to talk about trades at every single pick, that probably get bogged down. But we will consider trades at 8 and maybe like on day 2 if there's something cooking that we like. But welcome in, everyone. Appreciate everyone for joining us tonight. I know a lot of people very excited. I know we'll have a lot of people watching this after the fact, very excited to look at some potential draft simulations here. I know we had a lot of fun last time as well, so we're going to get to it. Before we get started, want to welcome in, of course, Adnan Ekic. Adnan, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well. At this rate, I think people are going to think that, one, I only show up for mock drafts, and two, the only way for me to show up is at these Patreon events, because I haven't been on a Wednesday show in like 4 or 5 weeks at this point.
Adnan's exclusive now. It's basically OnlyFans for Adnan to get in here.
but I was on the last Patreon event was the last mock draft we did. So, moving forward, my Wednesdays should be good to go.
Yes. So,
yeah, this is just the time of the year where I'm gone for like a month.
Yeah, it's a difficult time, we know, but you know, we get some guests on. It's all good. Thankfully we have a deep bench of guests now to get us through the dark period with Adnan before we get back into the summer. But welcome in, everyone. Welcome, Mad Tom K. What's up, guys? We will be once again making these picks, talking about trades with your input. And we will go from here real quick. I'm gonna get our ad read in. Just so I don't have to edit it in later, because it takes super long. So I apologize, patrons. Typically, you guys get an ad-free experience, but bear with me here on this to save me like 20 minutes of editing. Guys, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. They've got the latest stats, news, and scores available to you as you follow your favorite teams on their path to the playoffs. Now, what are we thinking the Hawks' chances are of actually surviving this play-in here?
Do you want me to talk to you objectively or talk to you with my heart?
I don't know the answer either way. Answers. So yeah, whatever you think.
Very,
you
know, different answers.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to, you know, tell myself that, you know, we'll get through that play in and, you know, give Boston a run for their money. But, you know, having watched this team all season, maybe we went on Wednesday, and then, you know, after that, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know, at least they've got a chance for the playoffs, unlike the Falcons. So, you know, no, the Falcons probably will have a chance this year. But last year, we were out of it, unfortunately. But no matter what you want to bet on, guys, whether that's NBA, NHL, MLB, golf, all that stuff, you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there by going to betonline.ag. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's dive right in. I know we've got a mock that I went ahead and started here. It's fairly chalky, unlike last time. I think we had some weird players available. This time it's fairly chalky. Quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and then we get a fourth quarterback at 6 to the Giants, which is probably what will happen if nobody trades up. And then we have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Joe Alt also go off the board. So the Falcons are sitting at 8 with Rome Odunze as the top available player. And then, of course, all the edge rushers, all the cornerbacks, basically all the defensive players and Rome Odunze are available. And this is a little bit different than the last one. Adnan, curious, you know, before we talk about potential trades, because I think in this scenario where Rome Odunze is on the board here, that's probably the best ticket to a trade down. But I wonder if, what do you think? Do you think they would consider, like, if they can't get a trade down done, or the value's not good, or what have you, is it like an option to just take Roma Dunze, who I would definitely say is the best player available. Like, he's a more talented player than the edge rushers at this point. So,
well, at this point, if the draft shakes out like this, I think the Falcons can be happy, because if you're a Falcons fan, you should want as many quarterbacks to go in those first seven picks as possible. And, you know, personally, I don't see it with J.J. McCarthy, but, you know, a lot of analysts, a lot of GMs do see it with J.J. McCarthy, to the point where, given that quarterback tax, it seems like he will go before the Falcons, which, you know, in this case, great. You know, it's great for the Falcons. I really, really like Roma Dunze. I think I mentioned it during our last mock. During our last mocks, we took Lied to Latu at this point, which, you know, good pick. Dallas Turner is available. Burse is available. Those are the big three edge guys. I actually had a take that I like Odunze even more than Malik Nabers, who in this draft went as wide receiver one. I just love the translation from college to the NFL for a big bodied wide receiver who is adept at running every single route on the route tree. And I think Odunze, I don't think it's a hot take to say that Odunze is the best route runner in this draft. Also, given the fact that he's, what, 6'3", big body, it's sort of a match made in heaven. And if the Falcons come out of this draft at 8 with Odunze as the pick, I'll be completely satisfied. I know there will be a contingent of the fan base that's ready to burn Flowery Branch to the ground, but I feel like that's the case with every single draft where, you know, there's always a percentage of fans that are saying, oh no, this is the worst pick of all time. You know, how could they, what's wrong with them? Fire the GM, fire everyone, fire Arthur Blank, even though that's not possible. but yeah, I would certainly very much consider Odunze at 8, no matter what the board is looking like, if he's still on the board. Last time we did go with edge because of the need, but this, I mean, this time I feel like it would be very fun to, you know, to roll with that trade down just to spice it up a little bit, even though, let's be honest, I don't think the Falcons have traded down in the first round since, what, 1990? Like, it's...
Don't you think they're overdue for one?
They've been overdue for one for the last two decades, but every single year we talk about this possibility. We talk about, hey, you know, it would be smart to load up on those picks a little bit. And every single year, I don't even think they consider it. They're like, oh, trade down. What's that?
Yep. He's done, like, Fontenot, to his credit, has traded down on day two, but not on day one yet. I do think, like, this year, this is the year that I think actually has the most realistic chance of a trade down, because of the way the board is going to fall, because of the guys that could be here. It'll either be Roma Dunze or Joe Alt that end up making it to this point, probably. And then, you know, there's always the chance that we get teams desperate for those quarterbacks, even the fifth and sixth quarterbacks. I think it's ridiculous to be trading up for Michael Penix or Bo Nix. Like, I mean, I'm going to make that clear. I think that's ridiculous. But it's not my place to say no to the Broncos or the Raiders or, you know, whoever else. If they want to come up to get those guys, I don't really care who you're coming up for. I just want the pick. So, like, that is an interesting thing to consider as well. But yeah, I know the fans have spoken. I believe it's a unanimous decision that we want to trade down. So let's look at
it. The fans want fun. Yeah. The fans want something different.
Yes, I agree. And I do agree with you. I think Roma Dunze is definitely the best player available. I think he is... compared to the other two, both have a higher ceiling, but I don't see that any scenario where Roma Dunze is like bad. I feel like him about like how I felt about Drake London, where it was like, I feel very confident like Drake London's going to be a good NFL player. I don't know if he's going to be like a great player, but he'll be good. And I think like thus far, that's what Drake London's been. And I think you're pretty happy with that if you get a good wide receiver one. And I think that's what Roma Dunze can be. And if they're trying to go all in on this offense, that would be the pick to do. And I think, you know, certainly value wise in terms of that, like wide receiver and edge rusher are actually pretty equivalent in terms of value at this point, given, you know, contracts and stuff like that. The difference is that you can often get wide receivers that contribute later in the draft, where you can't do that as easily with edge. That's the one sort of thing with it that often gets brought up. But we're going to talk about the trade down because that's what the people want. And PFF gives us some teams that are interested. And the nice thing about PFF is you can just force a trade to go through if we want to. So, like, we don't have to worry too much about that. But the Jets want to trade up. That one is very likely. I think the Jets would love to get Roma Dunze or even Brock Bowers, but I don't think they would trade up for him. You know, so the thing about the Jets pick is it's probably like we're going to be able to get their third, you know, and that's probably about it. Like, you know, so we could just get a third for that. I don't know that they would be willing to give us anything else. You know, maybe we could try to get one of their later picks, or if they, maybe if they, we could try to throw in a pot sweetener and maybe get, I don't think they'll send the fourth too. So that's the thing. If we go to the Jets, like we only have to drop two spots, but we do get a third. So that's reasonable. Sorry, I forgot to skip the ads for you guys. I'll give that a second to, this YouTube is aggressive with these ads. All right. And then the next team on the list would be the Denver Broncos. Again, the problem there is they don't have a second round pick. The difference with the Broncos is that we could probably get like significantly more from them. Like, they only have a third, but we could probably get like a future third too with the Broncos. You know, we could get their second next year and then like their fourth this year or something like that. But I think we're trying to focus on picks this year for the most part. And also I hate Sean Payton, you know, so I don't really want to trade with him. But the one I think is really interesting, and the PFF says they're not like interested, so we'd have to force this to go through, which I don't really care about. But the Raiders at 13, like if they're really trying to get a quarterback, they could be interested in coming up. And I know there's been some speculation that they, you know, could be coming up for an offensive lineman. That would probably be more if Joe Alt was here, I guess. But, you know, say the Raiders really wanted to get like Michael Penix or something like that. You know, we could probably get their second, because of the move to from 13 to 8 is bigger. So yeah, those would probably be, I know like we could go like deeper, like the Colts would probably be willing to come up. We could probably get like maybe their second and a fourth in exchange for our like we could throw in 197 as a pot sweetener, you know, which I love to do. You know how much I love to trade that last pick away. But so yeah, if we did the Colts, we'd have to drop down to 15, which is a little bit more risky. But we could get their second at 46 and then probably get their fourth as well if we just send them back like 197, which is a six rounder. But yeah, I mean, what kind of which of those do you like the best on those options?
I like all of them, honestly, just because one, you don't want to trade back too much. Like, you know, I'm not interested in trading back with let's say a team like, what did the Cardinals have another first rounder in this draft?
Yeah, I think they're in like the early 20s.
Yeah, like I'm not interested in moving back all the way there, just because I feel like the top of this draft has some serious blue chip prospects that, you know, I don't want to say that other drafts don't, but I do think there is a bit of a drop off in my opinion between the top of this draft and like, you know, the middle to late rounds of this draft, maybe even, which is a little bit more dramatic than usual than in a normal year. But if you do trade back, you do want to play sort of a mathematical game a little bit. You have the three edge rushers, which, you know, at this point, I think I don't want to say they're completely interchangeable, but I think we'd be satisfied getting either of those three, especially after stocking up the draft treasure chest a little bit. You have those three, you have Roma Dunze. So you're pretty much talking about, you know, four players that would be, you know, sort of A picks. So you're also looking at who is trading up with you, who they're likely to get, who is going to pick who in between, you know, eight and wherever you move back to. So you do just want to be like, all right, I don't want to be in a position where all four of those guys are off the board by the time we get back onto the clock. At that point, I don't think it would be worth it. Like, no offense you know, I like Cooper DeJean. I don't like Cooper DeJean more than the edge rushers, for example. So, I mean, doing the mathematical probability, the Jets, you know, you're moving back two picks. You have four players. I'm sure Odunze would be off the board, because if the Jets don't take him, then, you know, the Bears probably sure as hell will. The Broncos is interesting. The Broncos is actually a little bit more interesting to me, just because I would sort of value that second rounder next year in addition to the pick you get this year. But, you know, that's not as fun for, you know, for this exercise, because then it's like, oh, like, you know, you're talking about a sec next year. But if it was up to me, and those trades were on the table, I would pocket that second rounder from Denver next year. Just because I don't think all four of those guys will be gone between 8 and 12. And in that case, you get maybe a Jared Burse plus a future second plus, you know, maybe a fifth rounder this year. Because, you know, given the fact that the Broncos don't have that second this year, they're going to have to probably sweeten the pot a little bit with something added this year. So that would be my go-to move. But for the sake of this draft, let's just keep it simple. Let's move back with the Jets. Let's pocket the extra third, and let's just see who's on the board at 10.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that for sure. Yeah, can do. Yeah. So we'll get 10, and then we will get 72 back, and they will almost certainly accept it. Okay. All right. So it's funny. They actually traded up for Olufoshanu, which is hilarious to me. And then the Bears did take Jared Verse.
I don't think the Bears would take Verse over Odunze here.
I don't think so either. So we'll just say that the Bears took Odunze, whatever. But we can still get our edge rusher of choice. Both Dallas Turner and Laiatu Latu are still here. But is there anyone else you consider, or you just sort of take the edge rusher here? I mean, I think fans are probably pretty happy to just get the, because if you're like, I know there's like an argument that like the edge rushers maybe aren't the best players available still. I mean, I think at this point they're closer to that, certainly. I mean, because we're assuming that Odunze is gone here. But, you know, is there any other considerations, or would you just take the edge rushers? And I know I think we took Latu last time, right? So maybe we could take Turner this time. But
yeah, we did take Latu. Yeah, at this point, at this stage, I would more so consider the edge rushers.
Yeah. Brock Bowers for the memes, George.
If Arthur Smith was here, then that would probably be a feasible scenario, you know, as sad as that sounds. I mean, at this point, it would be one of the edge rushers or Odunze. Again, I don't think Odunze would be.
If Odunze was here, and we would just take Odunze and just walk away. Like, I mean, and just be happy that we got the extra third. But that would not happen, I think. I think someone would be clamoring to get up with the Bears. The simulator's not very smart. Like, I don't think the Jets would need to trade up for Olufoshanu. Like, I think they were trading up for a receiver, obviously. So, because there's the Bears aren't going to take Olufoshanu at 9. I mean, that they were either going to take Odunze or an edge rusher. So, you know, we'll just assume what happened was the Jets actually traded up for Odunze, because that's what they would have done. And then the Bears.
We can put in a poll between Turner, Latu. I think George Costanza mentioned Mitchell. And, you know, just for. I don't want to put Bowers in there for the memes, because I feel like everyone would just, you know, pick Bowers, and then it's like, all right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do Turner. We'll do Latu. We'll do Mitchell.
I guess Cooper DeJean.
We could do Cooper DeJean too. I know some people like Terrion Arnold as well, but.
I mean, yeah, the fourth one, I just know that, like, you know, I feel like a lot of the chat would just meme Bowers, and then
we could put that on the that would be a great like graphic, you know, for this one, you know, to really hype the people up. It's just like, oh, the Falcons take Brock Bowers, you know. All right, well, we'll give that just a second. But yeah, so the Falcons have picked up that extra third. So that means we could probably consider trading back into the first or trading up in the second round. So we could like maybe try to, you know, pause the draft at a certain point and see if there's anyone we want to move up for. Or we could trade back into the second after our second round pick to get another player, you know, so we do have some options, but
yeah. Also, it's like, I mean, if we pick up an extra third and grab one of these guys on the board, that's a win.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we would all be satisfied at that. Now, I don't know if the Jets are moving up to eight. Maybe, maybe not. So we don't know. It takes two to tango.
I just think there's a lot of teams that could be interested in Adunze, which is why I think it's got a good chance of happening. But you're absolutely right about that. Yeah.
I mean, one reason why I'm never too critical about the team not trading back is you never know what the offers actually are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's never really revealed. But, you know, if it gets done, my only ask regarding, you know, a trade back is, you know, to the Falcons is just don't move back too much. Like, yeah. Like I get it. There's future considerations, but you know, you're really setting yourself up to be a win now team with that Kirk Cousins pick, and you really want to get one of these blue chip prospects to, you know, take advantage of what is the easiest schedule in the league this year, and you really, really need to make a run at the division this season. Like, I don't care that it's Raheem Morris's first season. I don't care that it's Cousins' first season. Like, this team, this city really needs a playoff run.
Yeah. No, we really do. And it is going to be Dallas Turner at 80% of the votes. So we'll go with Turner here, which again, I ultimately think that it will be Turner that they do decide to take if they take an edge rusher. So, you know, it's one of those things. I just feel like he fits what they like. Like, they like long edge rushers, and the fact that he's one of the only edge rushers in this class that can cover, which shouldn't really be a huge consideration. I know it's been like a hot topic, but like, he can do
Morris
it.
Has run that defense a lot with, yeah, you know, the guy dropping off from the edge into the flat or, you know, into the zone. So mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's the tiebreaker. Maybe that they're really like both or all three of the edge rushers. And they're like, all right, who can cover the best? So,
yeah,
you know, no, not that
Lorenzo Carter's the best coverage edge in the NFL. Okay. So excuse me.
Not that I really want to be picking my edge rusher based on how well they cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that's something they're considering. But just to spot, for the record, I like Law 2 better than Turner or Verse. But, you know, just to spice it up, we took Law 2 last time. So, you know, let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I do think Law 2 is a good prospect and probably a better prospect right now. But Turner just feels to me like the guy they'll go with because of the length. If they stick with their guns on the length stuff, he's by far the longest of all the top edge rushers. He's longer than Jared Verse despite being like 2 inches shorter. So like, he has the length. He's got the ceiling. They've got plenty of run defenders right now. Like, they don't necessarily need him to play the run. Maybe he might just be a designated pass rusher this year, but he seems to fit the archetype the best. So that's kind of who I assume they'll go with. But all right, so here at 43, we add this to the poll. Okay, so some guys to consider. All right, so Tyler Newbin is the best player available. The safety, I love Tyler Newbin. I would not hesitate at all to add him here. I think he would be just the perfect guy to have next to Jesse Bates. Bo Nix still here. If they're looking to get like a long-term backup quarterback, Bo Nix is a good option, but again, I don't really see them doing that considering his age and stuff like that. Like, this is not the exact type of developmental quarterback you want, because I don't know if his ceiling is high enough, but TJ Tampa is definitely one that I would consider. I think he fits their sort of zone-heavy scheme really well at corner. And then Troy Franklin, the wide receiver, is here as well. He's it's all the, like, Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson, and Ricky Pearsall are all like the receiver. I would consider all those guys here for the most part. They're all very good. I'll do Troy Franklin just because we haven't had him here before. So we'll add that to the mix. I like that little bit of craziness.
Yeah, Matt Tom K does make a good point that we do need to consider the dog quota. Yeah. At some point, it doesn't have to be right now, but mm-hmm. we are contractually obligated to
take
at least on Georgia Bulldog in each mock. So that's just something to consider moving forward.
Yeah, well, I can throw Kamari Lassiter in here too, because he's definitely in this range as well. I wouldn't take Lassiter over Tampa, but I do think he's like the next corner after Tampa, and he's worthy in this range.
He's a dog, so you know
he is a dog. There is that. Yeah,
champion. You know.
Yeah. So who of those like four? Let's say like Tyler Newbin at safety, TJ Tampa, Kamari Lassiter at corner, and Troy Franklin at wide receiver. Who do you like the best in this range?
I like Newbin the best, and I remember last time we almost took Newbin, but we took Ladd McConkey because the value. Yeah. I mean, you know, the dog quota, obviously, but
yeah.
Even if he wasn't a dog, the value of taking Ladd McConkey at this point is just too good to pass up. Now, I see McConkey goes to the Chiefs in this mock, which I think would be
terrifying.
Yeah, not have a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that for him would be the best possible landing spot.
Yeah.
Just in general. So, you know, good for him if that scenario does play out. But yeah, Tyler Newbin, I remember we did go back and forth between Newbin and McConkey, and it was genuinely like a debate about, like, I don't know, you know, who to take between the two, and McConkey's talent just won out in the end. But Newbin is also really, really talented, and he plays a really big position of need, a very underrated position of need.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been on the show for a few weeks, but I feel like just the media and, you know, people in general haven't talked about the fact that the Falcons really do need a safety. Everyone talks about edge rushers, everyone talks about wide receivers, and rightfully so. The team does have those holes to fill, but safety is, you know, right up there with them, honestly, and maybe even cornerback, to be honest with you, because Richie Grant cannot be the day one starter this year. I talked about it last time we did the mock. Richie Grant is not good enough to be a day one starter. Richie Grant is a sunk cost in the second round at this point. And, you know, the team has not addressed that need at all in free agency. I don't think they've even looked at any safeties. DeMarco Helms is a fine backup. I feel like he's going to be a seventh round steal from last year, and he's going to be a guy that is going to be here for a while. We saw the flashes with him last year in preseason, special teams contributor, all that good stuff. I think Richie Grant could even be a cap casualty by the time training camp comes along. But yeah, the team, I feel like Newbin would be, you know, he's very long. He has the athleticism. The only reason why he would and probably will fall to the second round, he doesn't have that, you know, very sexy straight line speed that GMs seem to covet.
Yeah, but it's like, it's that 40 for safety is so overrated. Like, I mean, and you know this, but like, I always bring up Desmond Southward. It's like, he's the fastest safety in the West, and look what it got him. You know? If you have the instincts, you don't need elite long speed. And they already have Jesse Bates to be the single high safety. Like, this scheme, like, they will still play two safety stuff, but I think a lot of the time they will like emphasize a box safety more. And when they do play two safety, like split safety stuff, like they don't need both of their safeties to be able to play single high. It's nice. But I like Newbin didn't test as well as I think he plays. I think his play speed is way better than his testing speed. And that just happens for guys that are instinctual and smart. But like, I just feel like Newbin is a great compliment, and getting a cheap, like, good running mate for Jesse Bates, like, for 4 years is really important, I feel like, because they're not going to be able to spend on another safety, really. And if you've already got your third safety and DeMarco Helms locked up, you're happy there. So you can basically solve safety for like 3 years if with this pick, and move on to other needs. And the fan and the patrons and members agree. It's 80% for Tyler Newbin with a vote for TJ Tampa as well. So we'll move to Tyler Newbin. And then I did actually make sure to set the speed of the draft to slow so we can actually take a look at like trading back into the second if we want. So we'll let it run slow here. Yeah, this is much
slower. It's a great start to the draft. And I'm not just saying that because we're the ones making the picks with the patrons. But
yeah.
Dallas Turner, Newbin, an extra third rounder. Like, you know, we're cooking here.
Yeah, no, I think this is going well here. And like, you know, I I don't know if we want to try to consider, yeah, TJ Tampa went at 51. This is still a little early for a trade up.
There goes Tampa.
Yeah. Burton. Once we get to around like 60 is a lot of times where I like to kind of stop and see if there's somebody interesting, because you can do that for not too much cost here. So let's pause it. It won't actually let me see the players that are available, which is odd.
Well, we first have to make a trade and then we can see the players.
Yes, we have to like play the game first. Yeah. No, I mean, I think, let's see. Yeah, I mean, I think with Tampa going, Kamari Laster and Tampa are gone, so I don't know that there's a real need to trade up for. We could trade up for someone like a Kyrie Jackson, because his, you know, for his potential, it's probably a little early for that. We could probably wait a little bit longer, but you never know. At this point, you know, I was hoping Ricky Pearsall would slide to 60 and then we could trade it up for him, but he didn't slide that far. It's possible some other guys might be.
Does PFF really not let you see the big board right now?
Yeah, that's a big oversight, I think. So that's weird. I didn't know that before, but I'm just going to let it play out. I don't feel like super strong about anyone that I think is left here. Kieran Amagaji, Jonathan Brooks. We weren't interested in him. Christian Haynes. Maybe we just load up Adnan. We just take, like, because I think at this point, like, honestly, having the extra third just to like make another pick might be nice. Like the Falcons, Kyrie Jackson goes 66. Yeah.
I mean, it'll help after they're docked for that tampering next year.
There you go. I mean, we need it, right? So
maybe trade one of these thirds for a third next year, so we can. You right. Know.
All right. So here at 72. Yes. Okay. So this is, I think, as much as some people hate it, I think this is a very realistic place where, especially with this extra pick that they take Spencer Rattler, I do think they're actually interested in Spencer Rattler. Whatever you feel about it, he's honestly like the same age as like Bo Nix and Mike Pitt. He's a little bit younger, but like he is an older quarterback. But unlike those other guys, I think Spencer Rattler actually has that like potential. I mean, like Penix does have potential, don't get me wrong, but he's interesting. I love Marshawn Nealand. I mean, if they wanted to double dip at edge, they could. Because he's that sort of big end that they don't necessarily have either. Brandon Dorlus is interesting. I think he's a guy that needs to bulk up to play more like a 3-4 D end role in Atlanta. So that might be a little bit of a, might take some time, but he is good. I do really like Javon Baker, at wide receiver. So I would take him here for sure. And then there's like some more edge rushers, like Austin Booker, I like, is like a developmental, like pass rusher type guy. Johnny Wilson honestly has grown on me a little bit. I know he's a very like unusual wide receiver prospect, but you know, his biggest issue was his hands. Then at the Senior Bowl, he like caught everything. And then I was like, wow, maybe he really worked on that. So I don't know. Like I'm like coming around. I wouldn't take him over Javon Baker, but, and then at corner, Jaden Hicks is here too. So yeah, I mean, if this worked out, Jaden Hicks would have been a nice pick if we didn't take Newbin before. But he rarely actually falls this far, so I wouldn't depend on that. But like the two FSU corners are here, Renardo Green and Jerrion Jones. I think Green is the more outside corner. I think Jerrion Jones is the more slot corner. So the Falcons would probably be a little bit more interesting, a little bit more interested in Green. Chris Abrams-Drain is in this range too. DJ James from Auburn as well. But those are some interesting guys. So I think, let's see. Tavondre Sweat too. I know we got a lot of Tavondre Sweat fans, but I'll run like a poll and then we'll like see if, because like we pick again in like two picks. So like maybe we can get a couple of these guys in here. But let's see. I'll put Rattler in.
Put Nealand in there.
Okay.
It's because, like you said, I think they do, they would value that really big-bodied, powerful, athletic guy.
Yeah, and he moves really well, too.
I know we took Sweat here last time, or in the third last time.
Yeah. I'll throw him in there as well, just because I know he's popular. And then put Javon Baker in the mix. All right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like Nealon. I do think, like, Rattler, if you want him, you probably can't wait. You know, it. I don't think we have to worry about the Lions taking Rattler. So we can probably take Nealon first if we want.
The Lions took Hooker last year.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think they're going to take Rattler. Usually Rattler goes right after pick 74. It's kind of funny. Like, a lot of times I'd be like, oh, Rattler's still here. I'll just, like, take him at 79. And then, like, he almost always goes, like, to the Bears or some, like, somebody else random. I mean, the Broncos, Raiders, if they hadn't taken a quarterback yet, that's a lot of times where they'll take Rattler. I know the fans, we got a lot of fans of T'Vondre Sweat here as well. I think we can probably get Sweat a little bit later as well. We definitely have a lot of Sweat fans loving the Sweat. There's so many good puns you can do with T'Vondre Sweat. That's another upside to that pick.
Yeah, this is kind of hard, like, because I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, you know, grabbing developmental guys in the middle rounds. I don't think that really works out very often.
Oh, yeah, he's got the DUI, too. Yeah, I forgot about that. So he's probably actually going to go later than this in reality. I forgot about that. Thanks for letting me know, reminding me. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, with Rattler, it's – if you are going to grab a developmental guy, it would be Rattler. I just don't like the idea of that, you know, in general. I think it's sort of a waste of a pick, given the hit rate with those guys. And I mean, we did just have our own third rounder from a couple of years ago not really work out at the quarterback position. I think the results ended up coming back as a Nealon 40, Sweat 40. I think
I'm gonna run another one because I think the Falcons will take Sweat off their board. I forgot about the DUI. They're just, given what we know about them, I don't think that they'll have him on their board anymore after that. So
the other side of the coin to the developmental guy is this would sort of be the place to do it.
Yeah.
Given the fact that you have three third rounders all within, like, what, seven, eight picks of each other. So it's like, it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be as bad. Although, to be completely honest with you, I do think that I doubt that they would make all three of those third round picks. I think they would look to either trade up to use it as ammunition, or they would maybe even trade out of it. I don't think they want to make three third rounders all within, like, seven picks of each other.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, I think they would probably try to trade back up for, like, a corner or something like that. I'm going to run another poll without Sweat in there just because I agree with you guys. I don't think he's actually going to be on their board. But, no, Cedric Van Pran is also interesting. That's another one to consider. Like, if they want to get another center in here to possibly push Drew Dahlman, seeing as he's going to be a free agent next year. That is another one to consider too. So we'll run another one after these next two picks, because we'll probably take two of these four, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I agree. I forgot about the Sweat DUI. It's really unfortunate timing for him, obviously. So if you guys want to revote, I'll put up another poll. I'll just put Renardo Green in there instead of Sweat. But yeah,
and the team does need another wide receiver.
Yeah, they do. They do. I think, like, Baker would be a good fit, obviously, too. I think he's kind of underrated. Well, you know, that's maybe that's my UCF bias, you know. But
well, I mean, last time we took a UCF player on day two, it didn't really work out.
You know what? Last time we signed a UCF player, you know, it didn't work out so well. Okay. All right. Now we got Marshawn Nealon as the winner with Spencer Rattler in second. So we'll see if we can get those two for these next two picks. We'll get Nealon here at 72. And then, yeah, Rattler is here. So we'll take Rattler as well.
And it's then, a lot easier to swallow when you have the extra third rounder, even though yeah. I don't. Yeah.
I agree. Like, I think they just want a developmental third quarterback really bad. And, like, I think at least with Rattler, there's, like, some upside. Yeah, and so because they have the extra third, that basically gave them the opportunity to do it without it really hurting your draft. And then what do you know? Javon Baker here, still at 79. So we can get the third player on the list as well. So that does put off corner, but we do get Newbins. I feel like Newbins a really big boost to the secondary. So maybe we can, maybe like, I mean, I think between like Clark Phillips and Antonio Hamilton and all those guys, like you could probably cobble together a decent second corner. Like I think they're fairly confident in Clark Phillips. I think they would have made a bigger move at corner if they weren't, but we'll see. So we'll get Baker here.
There's no way you can fill everything.
No,
I mean,
you can't. Even with an extra third. Yeah.
I mean, we're double dipping at edge and we're taking the quarterback. Never mind. Maybe we could have gotten everything, actually.
Maybe we can do everything. Yeah. I mean, you can. It wasn't the value at corner, like, wasn't amazing with those picks. But all right. Yeah. So here, 109. I mean, obviously, we could consider a corner. We could consider, like, an interior defensive lineman. There's all the developmental edge rushers are kind of in this range too. Let's see. I don't think they'll take a tight end this high. I think they might be actually be considering a tight end at some point. But I don't think they'll take one like super duper high. All right, let's see. So let's do, all right, so at this point, let's do, okay. I really like Cam Hart. I think in this range, I think he's the one they would go with given their proclivities for zone. Let's see. Then we also got, oh, Dwayne Carter is still here. Leonard Taylor the third, if they want to go like swing really big on interior defensive line. We'll do Dwayne Carter as well.
Van Pran.
Yeah, Van Pran's not here anymore. I would have definitely considered Van Pran if he was still here. I don't love the tackles. Let's see. We'll do Xavier Thomas too. He's always a good one in this range at edge.
The only thing about edge is they double.
Oh, we already have two. Yeah, we're not getting another one. He won't make the roster at that point. That's right. Yeah, we shouldn't do edge. Let's see. I'll add. We'll do Cam Hart. We'll do DJ James as well, because I know he has a lot of fans. I think he might end up being a slot, which is why I'm not as high, but certainly interesting. And then, let's see. Oh, man. My son, Malik Washington. I'm always tempted. Always tempted by Malik. We'll add an offensive lineman in here too. Let's Christian Jones from Texas. He's like interesting as a developmental. I think they could be looking at an offensive tackle in this range. So let's see what you guys think as we get into day three here.
I made the argument last time about the tackle where they'd have to beat out Storm Norton if they wanted to make the roster, and I feel like Norton was really really good last year, and it's sort of, he does fit into that win now mold. Is, I think last year was one of the best swing tackles in the NFL. But yeah, like I think the only way I would go tackle in this draft would be if Joe Alt fell at eight, just because I think he's good enough to where you consider trading McGarry.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, we'll give you guys a couple couple minutes to weigh in on that. I definitely think like corner obviously is the biggest need.
The corner is definitely the biggest need here.
Yeah, certainly. I like Cam Hart too. Like, I think like he honestly has like starting potential. I just don't know how much he's going to be able to play this year, which is a little bit concerning. But I mean, he played really well at the Senior Bowl. Like, to his credit, like, he's a guy that's got that sort of like raw developmental label. But I thought he like acquitted himself well, and he had a really good season this year. And he's like just huge and a great athlete. So I mean, that always helps. But
I mean, the team does look at RAS score.
Yeah, they definitely do.
I've always taken credit as being the first person that noticed that in 2021 of, mm-hmm. oh, every single player they're taking has like a RAS score of like over 9.
Yeah, like pretty much everyone. Yeah.
Maybe this is a trend here.
It could be. You figured it out. Crack the code. All right, it's a landslide for Cam Hart. So we'll go with Cam Hart here. Keep this board moving just because I want to make sure we get through all these picks before we run out of time here. So we got a fifth, and then we got 2 sixths, and we'll probably just do the sixths off vibes. But for the fifth, we'll collect some thoughts here. All right, so this is the range where it starts to be like they'll just, especially since they have that extra third, they could just kind of do whatever they want. I don't know that they'll really consider like running back super high here. Like it's not that big of a need that I think they would make it like a fifth round pick, but like, I mean, it's the fifth round, so who cares? But they could take an interior guy. Like, this guy's not on the PFF simulator, but Fabian Lovett Sr. I don't know why he's not on the simulator. He's like gonna be a day three, like early day three pick. But Fabian Lovett Sr. is, funny enough, after I like picked him in the last mock draft, I went and looked at his like NFL combine profile, and he actually was comped to Eddie Goldman, which I thought was hilarious. Because Eddie Goldman is now like back on the team, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to take Fabian Lovett here because it gives them like just a really good nose tackle. Like, he's not a flashy pass rusher. He's a power rusher and a space eater and a two gapper. That's kind of what he does, and that's all he does, but he's a good one. And you know, at this point in the draft, you're getting an early down starter in the fifth round, and can't hate that. They could consider like linebacker here. Like, I know Cedric Gray has a lot of fans. If they're looking to bolster that linebacker room, he's one that's interesting. Mason Smith from LSU is here.
Wouldn't be a bad, I do want Gray in the poll for this one, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The big thing to consider here is also special teams.
Yeah.
I feel like we do have, you know, some prior history and some precedent to where the team really values, or at least under Terry Fontenot, the team really values these special teams contributors,
mm-hmm.
on day three, fifth round, and on. I remember Avery Williams was what, I think he was a fifth rounder based completely on his return potential. Yeah. So I do think that they will strongly consider special teams production here.
Yeah, I agree. I'll throw in Tyler Davis, the defensive tackle from Clemson, because I think he's like a baby Grady Jarrett. He is definitely someone that's interesting. And I'll throw in Theo Johnson at tight end, because he is like a super athlete. He might be the kind of guy that they love to just like stash and play special teams and that sort of thing. So we'll do Cedric Gray, Fabian Lovett Sr., Tyler Davis, and Theo Johnson. Let's see what you guys think about those folks. But you're definitely right. Like, they obviously taking linebackers at this point in day three is usually a good bet, because a lot of times those guys can be early special teams contributors, and there's always starters at linebacker like on day three. Like, it's one of the positions you can just find starters on day three without too much trouble. They do need the defensive line depth, especially on the interior, and I think like Neyland can do some of that. Like, I think if he bulks up a bit, he could potentially kick inside and be that like 3-4 defensive end like on passing downs, but I don't know that he'll do that like immediately. But Tyler Davis, if they're looking for like another Grady Jarrett like player, he's not as good as Grady, but he's definitely just a good like depth defensive tackle that can do some of those things. And then Theo Johnson is just like a just super athlete at tight end that, you know, is going to need to develop, but definitely very athletic, no question about that. He is an interesting player.
Give me Eric Saubert flashbacks.
Yeah. All right, we got Oh man, we got it, it's neck and neck. Okay, Fabian Lovett has pulled ahead. But we got some votes for Tyler Davis and Cedric Gray as well. So we'll give it just a second, see if anyone can. Fabian Lovett has taken the lead, so we'll give. I know there's like several of you in here, so we'll make sure everyone gets a chance to vote before we move on to the sixth rounders.
Now remember, we do need a dog before the draft is out.
We got to find a dog, yeah. Maybe
or
we
the
can.
Draft is invalid.
Right. I don't know. I think Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint might be gone before the draft ends. So, oh wait, Dominic Lovett, the wide receiver. I think we could probably get him. He's usually there, so we can keep that as our ace in the hole if we need it. All right, we'll go. Okay, it's gonna be Fabian Lovett Senior here, who again is not in the PFF simulator, which is a travesty. So I'll just take the next offensive tackle on the board, and we'll call it Fabian Lovett Sr. You can do that. You know, when you're a professional, you can just fudge it a little bit and say, yeah, I got this guy. You don't have to obey the simulator. Yeah.
I mean, it's not your fault or it's PFF's fault.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard Trevor Sikkema talk about Fabian Lovett. So like, I'm really shocked that he's not on this board, but, all right.
All right,
so
now
point, we're it's vibes.
Round. Yeah, we need a dog and we need someone with the best name.
Well, I know the Falcons have visited with Tip Ryman, the tight end from Illinois. So he's near the top of the board here. Just like a great athlete that doesn't do a whole lot otherwise. But, you know, at almost pick 200, you're just looking. He could play special teams. We talked about that, right? This is also the spot where I feel like they could take like a depth running back. You know, Cody Schrader. Is always interesting. Anthony Gold is here at wide receiver too. I really like. There's like a lot of guys that I don't think will be here, like Hunter Norzad from Penn State at center. I think he's like probably going to go like fourth round as like a depth center. So I think
we took Steel Chambers last time.
That's right. Yeah. Brennan Jackson's good. He has short arms, so that might disqualify him off the Falcons board. But I don't even know. How many dogs are left? We might have to go with Dominic Lovett to fulfill the dog quota. So we'll save that for the last pick. But I don't know. Hunter Norzad's kind of a cool name. Norzad. And like it actually makes sense. Like I think he's gonna go earlier than this, but if he is here, like it wouldn't shock me if they're looking to like have a center battle or like because I like Ryan Neuzel so like I do wonder if they like are happy with his development and maybe want to give him a shot, but getting some insurance might be not a bad idea in case they need to let Dahlman walk. So he would be interesting. Obviously Anthony Gold I like a lot and I would take him here probably.
They have let Matt Hennessy go.
Yeah, they let Matt Hennessy go. Yeah, they let him walk. So let's see. What do you think? You got strong takes?
No, I don't. We can roll with the center.
Yeah, we'll go with Hunter Norzad. That's a pretty good name. And now we're going to fulfill our dog quota with Dominic Lovett, who I know nothing about. He's 5'10", 179. He is a primarily slot receiver. Averaged over 11 yards per catch. That's not bad. Last year, he averaged almost 15. It's pretty good. Dominic Lovett. 81.7 grade versus man coverage. That's good. That's respectable. Yeah, okay. We'll do it. You know, he's probably going to go undrafted in the real draft, but we got to fulfill the dog quota. We can't risk him getting away. So we'll go with Dominic Lovett here just because. But yeah, there you have it. Let's see our draft here, and we'll recap real quick before we let you guys go. But while we're waiting for the rest of the draft to finish, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thanks for all your support. Reminder that we will be having a patron and members exclusive giveaway during the draft party. You don't have to be there to win it, but if you are there, that would be cool, you know. But we're also not going to make you like, we're probably going to give it away like on day three. So like, if you're not here at, we're going to give it away during the sixth round, you know. So if you're not here for the deep, you know, kidding. That's, you have to be there to, no. So yeah, that will be one thing we're doing. So thanks to George Costanza for that once again. We'll also be giving out gift cards on each day of the draft as well. But yeah, We got Dallas Turner at 10 after a trade down with the Jets where we picked up their third rounder in exchange for moving just two spots. We still get Dallas Turner there, and obviously the Falcons are happy with that. We get Tyler Newbin at 43, the safety from Minnesota, to really solidify the secondary in that spot across from Jesse Bates and give the Falcons maybe, I mean, this, I think in a year, this could be talked about as like one of the best safety duos in the NFL, no question. So I love that pick. It's not a corner, but it does help the secondary in a big way, which they still need. Falcons double dip at edge, which I think is potentially like on the table for sure.
We've been talking about that for a decade. Yeah. They never do it.
Yeah, right. I mean, they did it that one time with Malone and Arnold Ebiketie. Unfortunately, it's like maybe neither of them are good, but I guess we'll see. Yeah. You know, Ebiketie's okay.
I think they'll never do it.
No, this is now or never this year. I think the change back to the 3-4 is good for both of them. So hopefully they'll both hit now. But we get Nealand at 72, which is the pick from the Jets. Then we get Spencer Rattler as our developmental quarterback at 74. Then from the with the Ridley pick, we take another receiver. That's Javon Baker from UCF. Charge on. Then at 109, we got Cam Hart, the corner from Notre Dame. Round 5, pick 143. Ignore what the board says. We took Fabian Lovett Sr., the nose tackle from Florida State there. And then round 6, 187, we got the very coolly named center Hunter Norzad from Penn State to back up Drew Dahlman and potentially challenge down the road if he develops. And then we fulfilled the dog quota with wide receiver Dominic
Lovett. Yeah,
no, they don't like, honestly, Hunter Norzad's probably going in the fourth round. So I think their board is just like wrong on him, but you know, whatever, they hate it. But yeah, you can see that those picks, those late picks like don't matter at all. Like, cause we still got an A minus for the overall draft. So they do not care about those ones. Yeah, so cool draft. I like it. It was definitely unique. I do think in terms of the trade down, like this is the year where I think it's the most likely to happen. And by that, I mean, it's like a 25% chance to happen. But that's higher, I think, than it's been before. So there's a chance there. Any thoughts from you, Adnan, on how this ended up shaking out?
It doesn't happen this year. It'll never happen.
Yeah, this is the year. Yeah.
No, it's a good draft. I will say the one thing is I do think if I could go back, we did not prioritize those positions of need as much as I think the team will with a wide receiver and cornerback waiting for day three. Well, Javon Baker, late day two. Mm-hmm. But basically, the first wide receiver slash corner was the fifth pick that was made. I do think that would be different. I doubt that they do double dip at edge, even though I really like Nealand where we got him. But overall, yeah, you pick up an extra third rounder. I'm a really big Tyler Newbin fan. Dallas Turner, you know, we switched it up. We got one of those edges that we really like, while adding a third rounder. You filled those two big needs. You filled a couple of needs down the line. You got your Georgia Bulldog. So, you know, overall,
it's the most important need of all. Yeah.
Overall, it was a solid draft. I like the one we did last time a bit more, but then again, you know, in how many mock drafts is Ladd McConkey fall?
Yeah, that helped. That helped for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I wonder, like, I forgot to mess with the speed, so, like, we could have potentially tried to trade up for someone in, like, the second round.
But also, big L for PFF. Like,
yeah, you can't see who's there. Yeah, what the heck? Yeah.
Yeah, how do you not let me see who's there before I decide if I want to trade up? So,
yeah, I do like the simulator PFF. Good job. Like, you guys have definitely made this, like, with the draft network basically going kaput, you guys have made this much better. I actually like it quite a bit now. And shout out to Trevor Sikkim, obviously, for the rankings, which I think this year's rankings on PFF have been better than they've been sometimes before. But yeah, give us the ability to see who's there during the trade, like, because I don't know how we're assume I just have this big board like open that I'm just like tracking the picks like the real draft. I'm not doing that. So yeah, a little bit of an oversight there. But overall, I like it. Good job. Thanks to everyone for hanging out. This appreciate you guys. Please like, subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. If you're not a patron or a member and you're watching this after the fact and you want to get involved with some of these cool interactive shows in the future, you can join up on YouTube or on our Patreon page. The links are in the show description. We'll be back, of course, on Wednesday for the next Falcoholic Live as we get to just about a week away from the draft, Adon. It's kind of crazy quick it's coming, but it's almost here. So looking forward to that. We will have, of course, our live draft party during all three nights of the draft. Once again, working on getting some great guests for you guys. I know we've got, for leading up to the draft, we'll have some great guests too. Trying to get Eric Robinson back on the show. We're going to have Thor Nystrom coming on to talk draft prospects and get a little Vikings intel perhaps on Kirk Cousins and their plans as well in the process. And we're going to be going full steam ahead. I'll probably be doing like at least one mock draft a week up until the draft, just because this is the time you guys are eating them up. But thanks again for tuning in, guys. We appreciate y'all. Thanks to our patrons and members for supporting the show. Really means a lot. And we will see you guys next time on the Falcoholic Live. Have a great night, folks.
Night, guys.